Hey, this is Greg Little from Bethany Baptist Church. I'm so thankful that you decided to join us on this podcast. I trust that the Lord will use it in your life to encourage you, strengthen you, and challenge you wherever you are in your walk with Him. For more information about Bethany, you can visit us online at bethanybc.ca. And now let's open our hearts and minds to what the Lord has for us. Amen. All right, you may be seated. And let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 2. We're making our way through this epistle and making our way very slowly through this epistle. That's the way we're coming at it here on Sunday evenings to really get an understanding of the text. So we're in 1 John chapter 2, and we're just going to read the last two verses of this chapter, which are really tying together the end of chapter 2 and bringing us in into chapter number 3. So let's just read these together. 1 John 2, starting in verse 28. John says this, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone which doeth righteousness is born of him." Imagine with me as we begin here, two students coming into school on the morning of a big final exam. A lot of our students know what that's like. They've done that not that long ago. But imagine coming into school on the morning of that big exam, and this exam makes up 50% of your mark for the whole year. So it's a very important exam. It's a big exam. It has a lot of weight in it. But these two students have approached this exam in totally different ways, in a totally different manner. So the first student spent the whole semester studying and attending every class and taking notes and working really hard and doing all the homework and asking good questions and really trying to understand the material. So they've really worked hard all year to kind of understand what's being taught. So that's the first student. And the second student barely showed up. I mean, he showed up in body most times, but he wasn't there in mind all the time. Maybe he skipped a few classes and just skimmed the material. Maybe he used ChatGPT for all his homework and didn't really come to any other. Maybe I shouldn't even give that as an option. But he didn't really understand the material and hoped that somehow he could just cram at the last minute and come in and wing the exam. Now, most of you know that's not very far from the truth. There's a lot of people. My wife was like the first, and I was more like the second, showing up for my exams. I try to cram like as I'm heading to the class. But imagine they both study in that way. Now, imagine both of those students walking into the classroom the morning of the exam. How are they going to feel as they walk in? I would imagine that the first student, who prepared and studied and took notes and understands the material, would walk into that classroom very confidently, right? They know the material, they're prepared for it, not because they're perfect, not because they know everything, but they put in the time. They've done a lot of preparation. They have a relationship with the material, like they've studied it, they know it. They know the teacher. They know what's expected of them. So as that test hits their desk, they're not terrified, but actually they're confident and they're excited to pick up the pen and start writing that exam. That's the first student. They probably walk in with confidence. Well, if that's how the first student walks in, how does the second student walk in? What's that? Do they walk in with the same confidence? I did not walk in with confidence. I was terrified as I walked in, and I'm trying to remember all the things that I just studied 5 minutes ago that I should have spent all year working on. And the second student walks in nervous and unprepared and hoping for a miracle, right? And dreading the questions that are going to be asked of them, wanting to get the whole thing over with and just do the best that they can. So what's the difference? Is the difference intelligence?
I would suggest that both of them could be just as intelligent. They're both intelligent people, but the difference was not intelligence. The difference is preparation. One of them was prepared. The other was completely unprepared. One spent time with the material. He knows the material. He understands it. Therefore, he's confident. The other one ignored it. He tried to cram. He's unprepared. He's ashamed. He doesn't know the material. I think that's what, I mean, John's not talking about a test, but that's what he's talking about here in this last couple verses of 1 John chapter 2, that in the same way, when Jesus returns, the difference between confidence and shame won't be how impressive we were. It'll be whether we abided in him daily, if we truly abided in him. So how are we going to approach that? One, some who abide in Christ are going to approach it confidently, and others who didn't are going to be ashamed at his coming. So John gives us some truths here, and we'll probably just look at one of them tonight, and we'll look at the next one next time. But let's look at the first one, where John says this in verse 28, abide in him. Stay close to Jesus. Abide in him. And this really follows what he's just been talking about in the last few verses of remaining, continuing in the Son and in the Father, abiding in him. And he begins, John starts his verse with this this deep affection that he has for his readers. It's his, again, his pastoral heart coming through, where he says, little children, he's not scolding them. He's not giving them that difficult time. He's shepherding them. He's urging them. As a father wants his child to thrive, that's how John is approaching these children. His desire is that they would obey, that they would live in truth. He says, now, little children, abide in him. That's the command. Abide in him. Abide in him. That's the heartbeat of John's writing. He's mentioned it. It's what he's been making his way towards in this whole chapter. Remember, he's been saying, excuse me, don't turn away from God. Don't let the world pull you away. Don't let false teachers pull you away. But instead of letting these ones pull you away from him, abide in him. So let me ask you this. We'll see how much you're paying attention. Does anyone know what it means to abide? We looked at this 2 weeks ago. Abide in him. What does it mean to abide in him? Dwell, okay. To be with him, okay. There's a relationship. To walk with him. Any other ideas? Yeah. Yep. Yes, you. Yes. That's so all of those encompass the same word, to dwell in him, to remain in him, to stay connected. It's not a one-time event, but he's talking about an ongoing relationship. John is demanding a continual, deeper relationship with Christ that comes as a direct duty of their status as dear children. You are children, so abide in him, dwell, remain in him, stay close to him. It's like a branch connected to the vine, right? John uses that imagery in his gospel account. As long as it stays, it receives life and nourishment and fruitfulness. But if it detaches, it withers. So John's saying, abide in Christ, stay close to him, live your life in constant fellowship with him. Through prayer, through the word, through obedience, remain in him, stay with him. And then John tells them why they should do that. And he gives them both a positive reason and a negative reason for why they should abide in him. And both of those reasons that John gives in verse 28 are eschatological in nature. John, excuse me, he's giving them the encouragement. He's giving them motivation in verse 28 to abide. Let me ask you, what's the motivation? What is it that encourages them to continue in faithful abiding. There's an event. Right, at what? When he comes, right? That's the eschatological event. John is saying, abide in him, that when he comes, you'll have confidence in that. You'll not be ashamed, but you'll have that confidence. Here's the motivation that John gives. Here's why you should abide in Christ. Because he's coming. Because he's returning. He says that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So just stop there for a second. There's a lot to unpack in that verse, and we're gonna do that. You're gonna help me unpack it just a little bit as we think of this. But first of all, John says, when he shall appear. What's that talking about? It's talking about the return of Christ, right? The second coming of Christ. So John says, when he appears, by the way, John uses the same word for his incarnation. He uses it for his words and his works. He uses the same word, this is appear. He uses it for his post-resurrection appearances. He uses the same word for his second coming, that he will appear. So there's two thoughts that I take from this verse regarding the second coming of Christ. Think about that. When he shall appear, what does that tell you? What can you infer about the second coming of Christ from that statement? There's really two things that I take from it. Can you think of anything? Okay, so that's the second one that I have. So everyone close your eyes because I'll have to skip a slide to get to the second one. Don't look. There we go. Okay, no one saw that, right? All right, that's the second one. And that what I infer from that, he says, when he comes, you'll be confident. You won't be ashamed. And the idea there is that Christ's return is unexpected, not in the sense of that he's coming, but in the sense of the timing of it. We don't know when he is coming, but also it's imminent, meaning it could be at any time, right? Because when Christ appear, there are some that are going to have that confidence, but there's also going to be some that are caught off guard, right? And they're ashamed. They won't have that confidence. They'll be ashamed yet. If we all knew when Jesus was coming back, I think we could all be confident in it, right? Because we could be ready for it. We'd know exactly when it's happening. We could all be ready. Nobody would be caught off guard, but we don't know. All right? So the reality is that the disciples and the early church knew that Jesus was going to return unexpectedly at any time. They knew it could happen at any moment. That's the imminence of the rapture. They were prepared. They were looking for the sudden return of Christ. Okay, so that's one thing you can infer from that. What's one other thing? Yeah, did you read my slide when I skipped first? I read the first. Nice. Christ's return is certain. There's a certainty to it. He says, when he shall appear. There's a fact about Christ's appearance there, and that is this. He is coming. It is certain. It's going to happen. There will be a day when the sky splits open and the trumpet sounds and Christ returns in glory. It's a certainty. It's a fact. So there's those two things, that Christ is coming. There's a certainty in his coming, but there's also that imminence and unexpectedness. I don't know if that's a word of it. Knowing that it is coming and understanding that. So what the heart of what John is saying this, on that day, when he comes, there's going to be two groups of people. Some are going to be confident, while others will be ashamed. So there's this twofold benefit of abiding in Christ. One is positive, the other is negative. All right, so I know we've already gone over it, but what is the positive benefit of abiding in Christ? According to verse 28. Confidence. That we may have confidence. And I love the word that John uses there. Parousia. It's boldness. Confidence. Openness. In fact, this word that he uses often carries with it the idea of a freedom or boldness in speaking without fear. Right? That I have that boldness, I have that confidence to speak without fear of punishment or reprisal. It's that confidence and assurance in Christ that enables us, to speak the truth of the gospel with clarity and conviction without having any fear. That's the underlying root of the word. John uses this word four times in his epistle. Two times, it's used to refer to the believer's confidence at the return of Christ, here and in chapter 4, verse 17. And two times, it's used to refer to the confidence and the freedom that we have to approach God in prayer. John uses it that way twice in this epistle. So John says, for those that abide in Christ, when he comes, we can approach that with confidence. We can have confidence. We can have boldness. Like that student entering into the exam room, walking in confidently, not overconfident, right, but prepared and bold because of that. He knows the material. He's ready to go. He can face what's coming without fear. That's the confidence that we can have at the return of Christ. As we abide in him, there's that confidence that we have in him. So that's the positive. Secondly, what's the negative? If confidence is the positive element of abiding, what's the negative? Ashamed. Okay, there we go. So you're still with me. All right. So the confidence, but also the shame. He says, first of all, when he shall appear, we may have confidence. And then secondly, and not be ashamed. Eschanthomen is the word. Ashamed. This word only appears here in all of John's writings. But it carries the idea of shrinking back in shame, falling back in shame, or being feeling that guilt or shame. Those who remain faithful to Christ will not have to withdraw from the judge in shame or fear. Instead, they can stand with confidence before him at his coming. You know, to me, that gives me the picture. I don't know if you ever had this experience. I'm going to go back to school again, but this isn't an exam. This is way back. This is maybe in elementary school. I remember one time, I perhaps wasn't having the best day of my school career, and I was causing a little bit of trouble. Nobody else did that, right, in school. But I was acting up maybe a little bit in class, and I got called into the principal's office. And I went down to the principal's office, and I was sitting there, and all of a sudden the door opens up, and my mom and dad walk in. And you know it's not good when your parents show up at school, and you're sitting in the principal's office. And when I was sitting there, do you think I was sitting as they opened the door and they walked in? How happy do you think I was to see them? I am so glad you're here. I wasn't sitting there in confidence and boldness. Hey, Mom, hey, Dad, I'm having a great day. No, as they walked in the door, it was shame and guilt and fear. Because I had that relationship with them, but as they entered in, I wasn't prepared for that. I was living in a way that wasn't proper, and so I faced that. I was ashamed at their coming because I knew better. I knew I wasn't living the way that I should, and so I didn't face their coming in with confidence. I faced it with shame and guilt and regret. That's the idea. When Christ comes, when we're abiding in him, remaining in him, dwelling in him, it gives us a confidence. And not when he comes, it's not that we're ashamed or falling back in fear and guilt, but we have confidence in his coming. So what makes a difference? It's not how smart you were. It's not how successful you were in life. The difference is, did you abide in him? Are you abiding in him? I think to fall back in fear, to be ashamed, to shrink from him in shame implies a life that has drifted away, a heart that has wandered, a faith that was neglected. It's not about perfection. It's about direction. Are we leaning into Jesus or away from him? Are we abiding, dwelling in him? So we'll finish it there. We'll take up the next verse next week. But let's live every day with that return in view. When you wake up in the morning, ask yourself, what would it look like to abide in Christ today? As I start the day, what does it look like for me to remain in him and grow in fellowship with him? What would it look like for me to walk with Jesus today? And then do that. Abide in him, remain in him in that way. And then as you go to bed at night, ask yourself the question, did I abide today? Did I remain in him? Did I walk with him? How's my fellowship with him? Because abiding builds confidence. It's not prideful, self-made confidence, but it's this quiet, steady confidence of someone who knows their Savior. When he comes, we can have that confidence. We can be bold. So abide in Christ. As you await the arrival and anticipate the arrival of the King, be faithful in service. Abide in him, remain in him, so that when he comes, you're not ashamed, but you have confidence before him.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. My prayer is that God would use the preaching of his word in your life in a special way. If there's any way that we can be a help to you, please feel free to reach out at bibcinfo@gmail.com. Or if you're in the area, you're always welcome to come join us in worshiping the Lord together every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and Wednesday at 6:30. May the Lord bless you today.